Okay, hello everyone. This is the Teaneck edition of the Das Chabur, the Das Tefillah Chabur, and we are on Shir number 41. 41, but we're only still at the beginning of the third chapter of the book. Let's bring everybody back in to where we are up to. We took a little bit of a detour. We actually are going to get back a little bit to Tefillah maybe by the end of the Shir today, but we took a little bit of a detour to really get a deeper understanding of what it means to be an Av, what it means to be one of the Avos. Because we know that the Gemara tells us that the Avos created Tfilos, the different Tfilos. But unless we understand what really it meant to be an Av, what does it mean? How could there be three Avos? There should either be one or should be everyone who's our ancestor. What does it mean? What did the Avos do? What was their responsibility? What was their role in terms of Jewish history? It's difficult to proceed and to really understand what it meant that they created particular tefillos. So we focused on a comment, a very short comment, four words from the Medrash that said, Ha'avos, hein, hein, ha'merkava. The Avos are the chariot. They are the chariot of God, as it were. What in the world did that mean? So we learned that based on an image from the beginning of the book of Yechezkel, which we read when we're all sleeping, fortunately, on Shavuos morning, the first chapter of Yechezkel, that there's Yechezkel sees God as riding on a chariot. The chariot touches the earth, but God doesn't, so to speak, touch the earth. And the image explained, the Mefarshim explained Rav Rakovsky in the Sefer, is there to tell us that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, of course, touch the earth, of course he could impact directly with the earth, of course he could micromanage with his hand every single thing that happens down here. But for some reason, he chose to let human beings play a part in that. It's almost as if he's a little bit lifted up off the ground, and what touches the ground, what actually brings his presence into the world, is us. And we pointed out over the last few weeks discussing it that, in a way, it's absurd. God needs us? He needs me to help him come into the world? The answer is the word need here is with a lowercase n. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need the world. But the way that he created the world was that we are the ones that allow him, so to speak, to touch the ground. We are asked to bring his presence into the world. He doesn't force it into the world. He actually takes our lead. He invites us. He uses us, so to speak. He relies on us, is probably the best way of saying it, to bring his presence into the world. Just like a chariot, the rider is a little bit off the ground and uses the chariot to connect him to the ground. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with his name, with his kavod, with everything that he'd like to see. We know that behind the scenes he's running things. We know that he's going to bring it to the end that he's planning. But the way that it's designed, the way it appears, the way it seems to mostly function is that he's waiting for us to bring his name into the world. The Avos served as primary connectors, primary revealers. They are synonymous with the Merkava, says the Medrash. They're the ones that helped the world understand about God, that helped God be able to be perceived in this world somehow. That was their role. So we're going to continue that very, very deep idea. If you're wondering, do I understand this idea and you just are fuzzy on it, the answer is no. I don't really understand it either fully. It's the best way we could do to understand it. Basic idea we understand. So says Rav Rakovsky, Habitoy Merkava l'shchina lo mityaches la'af echad mehatzadikim shemibriyas ha'olam ba'da avos kedosha. Although every one of us has a small role to play, because as great as Avram Avinu was, he's not in our dining room. He's not in our living room. He doesn't spend as much time with our kids as we do. So in a certain way, we each have a unique role in terms of bringing God into our space and our world and our family. But no one else is called the Merkava except for the Avos. Habitui, this expression, the Merkava for the Shechina, that's what the Avos were, and that's unique to them. Aleinu lehisponin baze. You have to think about, what does this mean, right? Tshuva al kach nimsa bepsikta de Rav Kahana I don't have my original in front of me here. That's a typo here from the thing. But Chavtes, he says like this. This is an incredible idea he's about to share with us. He says, I'm supposed to say Aleph Chavtes, Iker Hashchina mitchila b'tachtonim haisa. At the beginning of time, the Shechina was down here. What do we mean by the Shechina? The Shechina means people were able to recognize the presence of God, feel God. God was around. He was tangible at the beginning. Kevan shechata Adam Harishon nistalka. And when Adam Harishon, this is not a long time period that he was around, the sense that the Shechina was here, it pulled back a little bit already a couple of hours into the creation of man when Adam Harishon sinned. L'rakia Harishon, it went back to, so to speak, the first heaven. U'b'chata'ei kol dor yisalko l'rakia shema'alav ad l'rakia hashvi. This idea of seven heavens, that comes from our tradition. God was fully present, so to speak. He could be sensed. He could be sensed in a very real way down here. When Adam Harishon sinned, boom, pulled away a little bit. Each of the generations that followed through the time of Noah, God goes back to the seventh level, so to speak. Amad Avram Avinu, okay, says the Medrash in the Psikta Kahana, Avram Avinu came back, Zacha, the Horida min Harakia Hashvi Lishishi. What Adam did was bring him back. In other words, as we'll see, and we're going to look at a famous Ramban, that really the goal is to get back to where we started. The world, when it was created, what we had in Gan Eden is what everything else is getting back to. And it helps us a little bit understand the question of, if God knew that Adam HaRishon was going to sin, so why did he put him in Gan Eden? He made the whole scene, the whole Gan Eden he made for a few hours till they sinned? In the Ramban's opinion, and that's what's being expressed here as well by the Psikta, that was always the goal of what to get to. We saw it, mankind. We tasted it. We were there. And we left it. And now we have to get back to it. Very similar to the famous Gemara in Nida that talks about the fact that the child learned Kol HaTorah Kula inside the mother's womb. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Shalom Zachar, to pay a shiva call. One of the reasons. To pay almost a shiva call to the baby. Nebuch, the baby, lost all of its Torah. Poor baby. And that's why we eat the chickpeas. Or we don't eat the chickpeas. We put them out and then we give them to the next people making the Shalom Zachar. Nobody actually eats that. But the chickpeas are round. And round things represent mourning. So there's actually an aspect of mourning at a Shalom Zachar, because the baby lost all his Torah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what's the point of the baby spending 9 months learning Torah that he or she is just going to forget? What's the point of that? Every child, no child as of yet has successfully ducked when the Malach came to hit him in the face. Right? That's what our rabbis tell us, that this little indentation over here is where we got hit by the Malach. The reason why rabbis have mustaches is to pretend that maybe the Malach missed. But the reality is, if rabbis would shave off their mustaches, they would still realize this thing is here. I don't know if I ever told you this. When I was in YU, so I had an honors course on child development. And the last class, we met a child who had scored the highest score ever on the IQ test. I forgot the number, 230, 240. It was a Jewish kid. Jewish kid, not from, Jewish kid that had scored the highest score ever recorded on the IQ test. The child spoke like 11 languages when he was 4. Really creepy kind of stuff, crazy stuff. So we just wanted to meet him to see if maybe he ducked, right? That was the only, there were a couple of us in the class. The child actually came to the class and all we wanted to see is maybe he doesn't have the thing. Maybe that's how the kid says, He had the same bump. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I don't understand. What's the point of learning all this Torah if you're just going to forget it anyway? The answer is there's a difference to come back to a place that you once saw, to come back to a level that you once reached, than to strive for something you don't even know what it is in the first place. And that's the way the Ramban understands Gan Eden. We were only there for a couple hours, but the entire process of the world is to get back there again. Mankind was shown how close it could be to God if it would live on a certain level. But it blew that. Adam, every generation, all the 20 generations to Avram Avinu. What is Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu doesn't invent monotheism. Avram Avinu is not the first person who believed in God. Adam HaRishon believed in God. Noach believed in God. People heard from God. There are other characters that come across us in the text. Malki Tzedek, after the war with the four kings and the five kings. It says that Malki Tzedek is the Melech Lekel Elyon. He's the Kohen, sorry, Lekel Elyon. There were other monotheists, but they weren't able to make a significant impact. What does Avram do? Amar Avram Avinu Zocha Vehorida Min HaRakia Hashvi L'Shishi. That's what Avram Avinu did. He brought a Kadosh Baruch Hu from the seventh level back to the sixth. Amar Yitzchak Avinu Zocha Vehorida Min HaRakia Hashishi L'Chamishi. He brought him from the sixth. He brought God back. He brought him back into the world. Amad Yaakov Avinu Zocha Vehorida Min HaRakia Hamishi L'Ravi V'chule, and so on with all the tzaddikim. And that's what we're doing. That's what we do. We're not bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our homes. We're bringing him back into our homes. There was a time that the entire face of the earth had a greater presence of the Shekhinah. And we chased him away. We chased him away. He just wants to come back home. He just wants to get back home. And what our job is to, in a small way, to bring him into another dark space, another place that he had been chased out of, to let him come home to our homes, to our families. But we're not bringing him from the seventh Rakia to the sixth Rakia, etc., etc. Hevei Omer, Hachzaras HaShchina Shnistalka Ekev Achet, to bring back the Shchina, the presence of Hashem that left because of Chet, Hu Maiseh HaAvos. That's the job of the Avos. If you get a title, and your title is you're an Av, then that's what your job description is. Your job description is to bring God back, not into the world, but back into the world. Heim habreishis shel hachzaras hashchina la'aretz. Starting with Avram Avinu is the process of bringing God back into the world. V'davar zeh hu heyos ha-merkava. That's what it means to be the Merkava. In other words, it's not that, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never fully on the ground, that his Shekhinah was never fully revealed, is that he actually was standing on the ground. He was in Gan Eden, right? The Ruach Elokim, you could feel it. In the wind, you could feel God. But we chased him away. To be the Merkava for the Shekhinah, the job of the Avos was to bring him back in some way, into the world, to bring the Shekhinah back. And then he quotes an unbelievable Pachad Yitzchak. It's from Pesach, so we'll get to finish it in the next week or two. You could use this as part of your Pesach Divrei Torah. Unbelievable idea from Rav Huttner in his Ma'amarim on Pesach. Hine, Derech, Zehu Heyos, sorry, Derech, Himehadvarim Hamamatines Hashem. Listen to what he's going to say. This is such an incredible idea. I read this again this morning. I reviewed it this morning. And again, I was just taken by this idea. He says, we have a concept that being on the road affects your presence, affects your PR, right? Today, in the world of media, so probably the best thing you could do is get up and get on the road, get in the bus, do a tour, get out there. But that's a result of today. We all have heard the famous idea in Rashi at the beginning of Lech Lecha. Rashi basically said, and we'll see it inside in a second, why did Avraham need all of these brachos? Why did he need to be told, I'll give you children? We didn't have children yet. But why did he need to be told with the journey, I'll give you children, I'll give you money, I'll give you fame? What does that have to do with the fact that he's taking this journey from home all the way to Eretz Yisrael? Because, Hine derech hi mehadvarim hamamatines Hashem. Generally, when you go, when you leave your place, when you go to a new place, okay, our next door neighbor, our new next door neighbor in the five towns is here. So when you go to a new place, nobody knows who you are. We're actually very excited about that, that nobody knows who we are. But in terms of your reputation, your whatever, when you leave the place, you've established, you're in a place for 20, 25 years, so everybody knows who you are. Oh, look who's coming. Not that the person wants them to know, but you have a name. You go somewhere else, especially in the ancient world, there's no communication, there's no anything. So usually when you travel, it hurts your PR. It hurts your popularity. You have to start again. That's what Rashi says at the beginning of Lech Lecha. Kishadam nichbad kavua b'mekoma. When a person is established in their place, shmo nimtza b'mazel shogidul. The longer they stay in the place, hopefully they get a good reputation. But if a person has a good reputation, the longer they stay in the place, the more their name grows, the more people are want to speak to them, want to be with them, want to ask them questions, right? The aliyah, kakasuv uvehechalo, I bet you never connect. You've heard this idea, I hope. This is the beginning of the Rashi at Lech Lecha. But he connects it to this pasuk. Does Rav Hutner, uvehechalo kulo omer kavod. It's a very interesting application of that pasuk. That's usually said about God. Uvehechalo kulo omer kavod. Everybody talks, oh, he's such kavod, he's such... But that's true for human beings also, kiviyachol. Lahavdil, sorry. That's true for human beings. When you're in your heichal, when you're in your place, when you've established a name in a certain company, in a certain neighborhood, in a certain something. So, oh, it's Mr. So-and-so. Oh, this is your place, right? Aval kashuhum itztarech lios navinad b'mekoma. When you have to wander, harei tivam shel tiltulei derech hu lahamet es Hashem. It's natural that when you wander to a place, in fact, many of the many great individuals in Jewish history went, and let's go, they did pravagolus. Pravagolus. Pravagolus was a practice when great individuals who wanted to keep their ego in check, they would leave their community. Nobody knew what they looked like. And if you were the Vilna Gaon and you went to a different community, nobody knew what you looked like. They would travel somewhere far away and they would spend 6 months in a community where nobody knew them. And it would be great for your ego. You get to see what they really treat people like, right?
Undercover boss.
So you get the undercover boss, right? You're undercover and you do this and that. There's, you know, so that's what they used to do. And it was an experience that really built character. Now you're the nobody in the back. That's why Avraham Avinu needed a special bracha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you're a big shot where you are. Everybody knows you. Not everybody likes you. There are a lot of people that want to kill you. But everybody knows you. You're Avraham Avinu. You're Terach's son. Now I'm going to tell you to pick up and go to nowhere? No one's ever seen you. No one's ever heard of you. So you need a special bracha, right? Ve'agadla et shemecha. If he was home, he wouldn't need such a bracha. He was doing a great job as his own PR manager. But now I'm going to nowhere. So the general way of the world, says Rav Hutner, is that when you travel, when you go somewhere new, your PR takes a hit. U'l'umazos. However, yesh nesi'ah shenoadah l'shem ribui ha'pe'er. V'haderes ha'kavod. There is a way to travel that will guarantee and actually will increase your kavod. Most people, when they go from one place to another place, it means that they have to reestablish themselves. But there's a way to travel that actually increases your kavod more than if you stayed home. Nesia kazu, hi nesia b'merkava. If you travel in a chariot, then travel increases your kavod, because who is in that chariot? right? So normally travel involves a lessening of your kavod, a lessening of your glory. But if you can find a good chariot to ride in, then you can be in motion and you could have your kavod. Why do you need a chariot? You could go on a wagon. The whole idea of the chariot is that it reflects on the person that's inside. Any decent chariot is not just comfortable on the inside. Any chariot worth a few dollars says to anyone, oh my, who is coming to town? Who is this that's coming? Right? Af shehu metul tal baderech, even though it's on the road. Even though you're in a place where no one ever knew you before, but if you're in a chariot, this is a big deal. V'nimtza b'masa b'matzav shel hisma atut ha-kavod. Even though you're in a situation that usually results in less kavod, less understand. What is kavod here? Kavod. Kavod means understanding who you are, understanding what you bring. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu also needs PR, and again, he needs it with a lowercase n. He doesn't need PR. He can do anything he wants. And in a situation where we are not able to do anything for him, like Pesach time, he'll run his own PR campaign. He does great events. He runs great, great events. They have miracles. They have splitting seas. When you leave it up to him, for whatever reason, there are times in history when he takes care of his own PR, he's more than capable of terrific PR. But for most of history, he wants to outsource the PR. And not only that, he's on the road. Nekod klal zeh biyadecha. Okay, understand this. Kocha, it should say. Kocha shel merkava hu bazeh shehu machzira es kavod l'shorsho l'mekomo harishon. Lamrot shenisave kan matzav shel pegiya b'kav. That's what he says. The specific function of a chariot is to restore and ensure the kavod of someone whose kavod has been diminished. I was in my palace. Ooh, I was in my Gan Eden. I was in my palace. Everybody knew who I was. I stepped out of the palace. Suddenly, nobody knows who I am. When I get into the chariot and the chariot shows up in town, the chariot restores the understanding of everyone around as to who this is and to what force this is. Okay? That was the role of the Avos. When we say the Avos was chariot, such a deep idea from Rav Huttner, not just a chariot. You could have thought of any object that connects the thing on top to the thing below. I've been explaining that the significance of a chariot is that the rider sits above and something else connects the person to the top. It could have been a ladder. It could have been a stage. It could have been anything. Says Rav Huttner, why is it a merkava? Because a merkava is there to restore that which is lost. The role of the Avos was not to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the first time to the world. It wasn't to reveal him for the first time in the world. It was specifically to restore that was lost when he was dislodged from his palace. What's the palace? Gan Eden. He was dislodged from that experience of the Shechina being there. And then the job of the Merkava, the job of the Avos, was to bring him back in. Dehine akobi de shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. And then he ends with the following. We'll end with this paragraph. It's just an unbelievable paragraph. Dehine akobi de shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. He takes this mushal of uprooting, of giving a little, of a Merkava, of giving away your kavod to get it back in a greater way. Giving away your palace so that others can reflect it for you as a merkava. He expresses this in a different way, which we'll end with tonight. Tihine hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. We know we have a klal. The rabbis tell us God runs everything except for every decision that we make. He's completely in charge of the world except for free choice. The word Yira Shamayim here is understood to mean any values-based decision that we ever make. Any values decision, any mitzvah, avera, chesed, not chesed, mais, good maisa, not maisa, those are all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Those are all in our hands. Maybe if I'm reaching, does that mean that the breakfast cereal that I pick, I often go back to breakfast cereal, is the breakfast cereal that I pick in God's hands? Well, it depends. If I'm choosing between chves, fruity pebbles, and something that's better for you, raisin nut bran, mashu kazeh, that's a moral decision. We may make the wrong decision. Constantly, Cheerios says it's going to get away any heart condition you have. If you take Cheerios, you won't have it. So that's a moral decision. Do I go for the better tasting cereal? Do I eat the cereal? It's going to be better for me. That's a mitzvah. Shemartem olam hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't control that. If you're choosing between ichveis, fruity pebbles, and cocoa pebbles, maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu might even take that out of your hands. That's not a moral decision, as far as I know. So just about everything we do is not in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. He has seeded almost all of human affairs. He could have been in charge, but he seeded them. Yesh kan lefaneinu eze inyan shenishmat mitoch harishus shomayla shoma'ala keviyachol. That's a shtach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a seeding of power. It makes it look as if he's not in control. The fact that he gave us Bechira Chavshas, that he allows human beings all over the world to make their own decisions, was something that was mamayet his kavod. It made him look impotent. It made him look like he can't be in control. He chose to leave the palace, the place that would have represented his kavod. He could have micromanaged everything we do. We could have just been malachim. We could have had no free choice. And then everyone would see that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He opted to leave the place that would reflect his power fully. Ubechol kegomda, and everything like this. Yesh hechi timtza shel hargosha shel hismatus kavo. In every single one of these cases, this is still the words of Huttner, there's a hechi timtza of feeling like maybe he's not fully in charge. Uba alze miktsoa miuchad batora shel razin ilayin. And instead, what did he do for every one of us? He created a situation, a special miktsoa. Miktsoa is like a trade, an entire world of what to do. A secret, razini line, a secret on high. Shehu megala umavara lahazochen lo. That someone who reveals this, someone who uncovers this, someone who practices this, someone who can make it there. If you're zochet to get to this space, sha'af ha'chutz hazeh, hanire b'shitchi is kemiyut kavod, this pulling out, which at its surface appears to be lessening the kavod of Shemayim, eino la'amito shel dover el ribu kavod, is in fact a way to increase the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me do something, that would show cover to him on one level. Because, wow, everything's in his control. But when he ceded control, and yet I decided to do the mitzvah anyway, I give him greater kavod than had he controlled my actions in the first place. That's quite a jump. What is he trying to do? He's trying to show that what human beings were asked to do was not to bring God into the world, but to bring him back into the world after he voluntarily pulled out a little bit. He voluntarily lessened his kavod because he counted on us to do something that would actually increase his kavod. He left the palace, so to speak, where everybody knew him, but they only knew him right there. And he hit the road. And hitting the road is very risky. And hitting the road means that there's going to be a lot of generations that nobody knows who he is. But the Avos came and created a chariot for him and introduced him to the world and introduced him all around the world, reintroduced him. And the kavod in the chariot, when the king comes to town, is even greater than the kavod that the king has in his own palace. When the chariot shows up and everyone stops everything they're doing and the horns start blowing and everything, that's the real kavod. It's a mashal for what the space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left for us in the world. He lessened his kavod by giving us free choice. He let us be part of this grand story. We can fail him. But when we succeed, when we say, no, this is the chutz, right? Sha'af ha-chutz hazeh, in quotes. Even this place that's outside of his control, he's in control of that also. Even the space where we don't have to, so to speak, follow his will. We're following his will anyway. And that's the ultimate kavod. And that's the way that we try to follow the footsteps of the Avos. The Avos did this in a way that they started the process of bringing him back into the world. They set for their descendants this role of bringing God to every single inch of the earth, piece by piece, dark place by dark place, place where he's not recognized, to make it a place that he's recognized again. In a certain sense, this was only the Avos. Only the Avos could really wrench him out of the seventh heaven and bring him back down to the world after all of those generations had forgotten that he was here. Only they could really, really create the Merkava that would bring him back into the world. But, as Rav Huttner so beautifully says, every one of us is part of that grand drama as well. He lessened his kavod by stepping away, so to speak. This is the nimshal. The mashal is a king leaving his palace, king going into the chariot. The nimshal is he allowed human beings to have free choice. And that free choice was first exercised by whom? By Adam HaRishon, in the bad way. He could have, Bracious could have been a walk in the park. Pardon the pun. Could have been a walk in the park. But it wasn't a walk in the park because he said, you know what? I'm going to let you make a choice. And that choice had terrible, terrible consequences. But our job now is to restore those mistakes, to use our free choice to bring them back into the world, to try to follow in some way what the Avos did. This, if anybody wants to look it up inside, Pesach Ma'amar Mem Aleph from Rav Huttner. This idea, by next week in Mirtz Hashem, we'll be able to see how this idea will help us to finally understand what does it mean that they each created a tefillah. How, by creating Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, did the Avos not simply enhance our tefillah or give us something to do? Now we understand what their role was. Their role was to bring God back into the world. How did the creation of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv bring God back into the world to people that had forgotten him? And that's what Mirtz Hashem see next week. Shabbat everybody. A good tevach.
Good night, Rabbi. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thanks so much.